This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan Run Radio.
Today, we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue, it won't do.
Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and candidly a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to, we can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places so they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. We can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't know.
Welcome in to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Thursday edition of the program. It's 3 and Out, Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson on the board, and new intern Alex is... Final day, Houston.
It's a sad day, but it is a day of celebration.
Graduation this weekend, then into the real world.
Unfortunately.
No, fortunately. It was on, it's just quiet. You can turn it up a little bit. Okay, is it up now?
Yeah.
Okay, now turn it off. I get around with him. I make a joke, it's funny.
If you make me turn my mic off 13 or 14 more times, I'm out of here.
You call me a little. Morning, everybody. How we doing?
I'm pretty good.
How you feeling? Are you sad? Are you whatever? Are you excited?
I'm sad.
Sad.
Did you get your final project done?
Yeah.
Alex, I'm going to need you to turn your mic up.
Last month.
I don't know if it's even registering.
I can hear it a little bit.
He's recording.
Yesterday or 2 days ago, you had to save the world. So, it was on.
Again.
Mic trouble. Heard something.
Went something.
Hate to see it.
That's what you always say.
Hate to see
when it doesn't work.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. Cool.
Vols land wide receiver. What do you think, Houston?
Let's see here. What did I say? Floodgates! Told ya, idiots! Recruit machine. Boogity, 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 boogity.
I'm kind of surprised that's where you let off with.
I was always meant to be home. Hashtag Vols.
Did you see the updated college basketball recruiting rankings?
Yeah, but we didn't get anybody. They just got new numbers.
We just got better.
I mean, it was enough to get the Vols to number 2 in the country.
I feel like, weren't we already like 3? We jumped one spot?
Well, it's tough to move when you're, like, talking about 1, 2, and 3. I mean.
Jumped over the Dukies.
That's why he wanted to lead with it.
Because the Vols did something better?
Because he gets
better.
To mention Duke.
I actually didn't plan on doing that. I just thought it was cool.
Don't
the Vols' total score was 69 points.
Okay. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Javonte Payton, 6'2", 182 pounder out of originally Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Hence why he tweeted, "I was always meant to be home." He was a .8785 coming out of JUCO.
Four star?
.785?
No, that's a three star.
Okay.
He committed to Mississippi State back in 2018. He's in the 2019 class. That was his JUCO rating.
Yeah.
Moorhead.
Northwest Mississippi.
No, was that the coach at Mississippi?
I don't know.
Moorhead was the coach or something I can't even remember the guy's name who came from Penn State.
Joe Moorhead.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Can't even prove it be him. Pretty bad.
So, he one good game?
Yeah.
One touchdown on the season.
How do we...
I'm not out. It's fine. I just, it was a pretty pass-heavy offense, as I recall. 19 catches in 2020.
Yeah.
225 yards and a TD. Is he super fast?
I don't know. I doubt it since he was a three-star.
Okay.
I mean, he might be fast enough. I just don't know if he's super fast.
But now he's
fast.
Playing for the home state.
The pride.
That adds a little speed.
Yeah.
You run a little harder when you're playing.
Tennessee guy runs through the tee. I mean, they're a different player.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And when they're wearing the orange.
Right.
They play faster and better.
Yeah.
Things we want. I hope. That'd be neat.
I'm just hoping he's not part of the, cancer that Mike Leach was trying to cut out of the Mississippi State program.
No. Man. Maybe. No. Come on.
Nah.
Heupel is not going to take in a bad apple.
One of our guys who say knows a guy down there in Mississippi State.
He's a great dude.
He's a good kid. Yeah, a good kid.
A good kid.
So
we got a good kid.
Hopefully.
So we got four spots left? Three?
I don't know.
To get to the 25?
Ask Shawnee for the spreadsheet. I don't remember.
I don't think that would help, really.
It won't?
I don't know.
Have all the new kids on it? New kids on the block.
Wow, really?
Even I wouldn't have made that.
Yeah. All the new kids on the block.
Whatever. Alex probably, I'm surprised he even knows who that is.
It's a good point. It's a pretty good point. You've heard of New Kids on the Block, right? Mark Wahlberg.
No, I thought it was his brother.
You got a back tattoo.
No, he was in it, wasn't he? Wasn't Mark Wahlberg in New Kids on the Block?
Very, very short time.
Very
brief.
They
did not have any success when he was in it.
But then he went to be Marky Mark and had success.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Maybe he was the cancer. He was the problem with New Kids on the Block.
He did have some issues back then.
I'm pretty sure Mark Wahlberg's killed a guy.
No, I don't know.
He got close.
I know he did. I read the story. Watched some documentary or something. Tough upbringing there in
Boston.
Suffolk. I don't know. I know it was South Boston, which is notoriously a dangerous place.
That was a terrible Boston.
Who?
Davey.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I don't care. They cost me last night.
Oh, here we go.
You missed his ranting and raving against his hockey bets this morning, too, across the board.
Just one hockey bet. Just the puck line.
Puck line. He's out on puck line
forever. I'm out on puck line. That's not me.
So how'd your bets go?
4-2.
What do you think about that, old Dave? 4-2, that's still fine.
I'm not mad about,
he's just overall, out on puck line.
It's just that one. It's like, all the numbers are backing it up.
But
for whatever reason, has really struggled.
All right. Do better next time.
Last 7 days, 12-3 in the NBA.
It's pretty good. Are you rich now?
I feel like he's going to turn his notice here.
No, I don't bet that much.
Why not?
Sounds like you should.
Nah, man, you got to keep it small. You can't talk about how much you're betting. When you got Kress over here, just like, oh, I'm making all this money. You're just setting yourself up for failure.
What did I do? Oh, making all this money. What did I do?
This thing called taxes. All right,
Davey, you don't pay taxes if you don't have money. You have to make money to pay taxes.
Yeah. But if they don't know about the money, how are they going to tax it?
Are you saying that you don't plan on paying taxes on your gambling?
No, I don't say that.
Are you not saying that?
No. I've not made any money.
Topic one for hour one, Davey avoids taxes.
Yeah, tax fraud.
You know, you'd have more money if you bet a lot more and just paid your taxes than if you tried to, like, bet tiny amounts and then not pay taxes.
Mm.
I'm going to have to turn him in.
I don't think you get anything special for that. It's not like...
I don't care. You're really just seeing him go to prison. It'd be worth it. Be worth it for me.
I'm sure he'd turn you in at the same time.
Nah, I'd squeaky clean.
Then I'm the one that gets screwed. I got no one left.
You'd be fine by yourself.
Alex leaves.
You'd be good. You could handle it.
I'd do all right.
Like that four than one involuntary action.
That's
after Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. I'll just sit back there. I'll talk, push the buttons, and then just be like,
"Who are you?
Hello, caller."
Yeah. Hey, caller. But no, as Davey mentioned, Tennessee has jumped to number 2 in the basketball team rankings and recruiting for 2021. And we're this close. We are right there behind Michigan. But I think we're done. Are we done?
Rick Barnes said the other day that it would take something special to add from here on out, but we're pretty much set.
Okay.
There you go.
Kennedy Chandler got a big boost.
Mm-hmm.
He is now a top 10 player overall, number one point guard in the country.
Ooh.
And he is, if he gets another boost, he'll be the best recruit ever signed at the University of Tennessee. In the modern.
I thought they were done with the ranking.
Oh, was that the final one? Do you know?
It's May. Coming in. Should be. It should be the final one.
Okay.
Who are we talking about? Who did he jump at? What? Wasn't he the number 2 point guard?
Did he jump J.D. Davidson?
Yeah, that's who it would have been. Who's he playing for?
Bama.
That's
yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
That was him.
How about take that, Nate Oates?
I saw his golf swing.
Terrible golf swing.
Yeah, I saw the golf swing, and they were like, nope, good point guard's going there. We're going to drop this kid.
Yep.
Yep. Tobias Harris, Scotty Hobson, and now Kennedy Chandler, followed closely by Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Get that going worse.
So, Kennedy Chandler is now a .9970. Harris and Hobson were .9978. So he's 8/1000ths. Get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Behind Tobias Harris and Scotty Hobson.
Mm. Wow.
Small forward, shooting guard, point guard. That's what it's going to be like watching Kennedy Chandler. You hear me?
That's good news. Well, maybe Rick Barnes will tweak his whole system now that he's got a point guard that can go.
You know, Nate, maybe he will. And maybe you just are going to have to sit back and wait and not be so negative.
Maybe you won't.
Negative Nate of 3 and Pout.
Let's go to the phone lines early. Get Matt in here, Davey.
Oh.
What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out. Oh, no.
Yeah, yo.
Hey, there he is. There you are.
Go to that quick. I was on speaker just cruising along, man. You guys hit me up pretty fast today.
Yeah, but it's unprecedented territory here. First segment
wait
call.
Minutes.
That's
yeah, I don't ever get. I always just expect a hold.
Well,
you do this because it's Alex's last day. Is that why you guys are?
What, coming to you?
No, just being nice. Seems like you're just, you know.
We're in a good mood. He brought us coffee.
He did. First of all, we are nice guys. We get this.
That's
Alex, don't lie to the people on your final day. We get this stigma. Like, if someone doesn't like us, we're the bad guy. We're mean. We're nasty, dark, crooked.
Unprofessional.
It's like, buddy. Like,
well,
I'll give him the unprofessional part for a certain select few here at the old station.
Well, Alex has done a hell of a job, guys.
Agree. And to his detractors, I say, go to hell!
Can I give him, Alex, can I give you two pieces of advice that I've just learned over the course of my lifetime? I'm 42, so I think I've got a little bit to offer.
Yeah, I'll gladly take it.
All right, cool, man. If you're ever having a bad day, throw on some sunglasses. Now you're just having a bad evening. All right? That's the first one. And the second one, which I think is even more important, go out today because it's going to be sunny and take a picture of the sun. And next time you're stuck in the dark without a flashlight, flip your phone on and go to that picture. Good to go.
That is some great A advice right there.
You got it, man. That's free.
It's Matt. I mean, look at all the success he's having right now. Like, you know, it's good advice.
Yeah.
He's got a babe on the way. He's living the dream. He plays golf all the time.
Yeah.
It took me 42 years to get a babe on the way. I did this backwards, guys. Like, be 62 when
Hey, good things take time.
Yeah, that's
Spoken as a true Vol fan, huh?
Matt, I accepted your friend request.
Do what?
I accepted your friend request. I finally went on Facebook.
Yeah, you did. Nate's my favorite now. I think I've moved into he's my favorite territory. Dave, you might get there tomorrow.
What? Oh, yeah, I got bumped after one day?
Yeah, you did. Nate had a hell of a comment yesterday about, which I just totally agree with, leaving Neyland Stadium and the fireworks going off and it just wigging you out. I know you followed up
on
it.
That was me! That was me!
No, Nate started it and you followed up on it. He started the conversation and then you came in with your blackout rage, which Nate just took the lead on that comment because it's totally true. It's like playing third down for what when you're getting blitzed by 30.
I said that too.
And probably after that loss, too.
You're giving Nate a lot of credit for things I said yesterday. I just want you to know that. Apparently we sound alike. I don't know.
You guys do sound a lot alike.
You know, I never think
I've had trouble for years.
I had never thought that. And then sometimes I'll go back and listen to a part of the podcast, and I'm like, wait, what? Was that me? It's kind of sad.
Yeah,
I'll turn the compression up on my voice so I get down here.
Probably after the Georgia State game, too, Houston was like, don't worry, Pruitt will turn it around
for us. I think I did. I was like, I will beat BYU. We'll be back on track. It's fine.
Hey, we got a wide receiver, man. I think things are looking up from this point.
Sub 4-4, I'm told.
Sub 4-4. Yeah, right.
Hey, I got that from a guy I trust, John Akre. He would not lie to me. Sub 4-4. So we're talking like 4.39 or faster.
And he had 230 yards receiving last year?
Basically in one game.
225.
Oh, okay.
122 on 6 catches against LSU. They had quarterback issues, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we're going to be all right this year.
There you go, man. Uh-oh. Come on, Matt.
We're going to be all right.
How all right is all right?
Matt goes from the Georgia State.
Georgia
State fireworks, too. I think we're going to be all right this year.
If we lose to Georgia State, you know that I'm not even. That's I don't think that's possible. But if it does happen, oh man,
we ain't losing the bowl.
I don't want to think about that.
Bowling Green apparently is worse than Georgia State was. So
what did I say, Georgia State?
Yeah, that's okay. We know what you
God
mean.
Bless, dude. I think yesterday.
Well, we were just talking about Georgia State. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
Oh man,
Bowling Green.
Alex Levin's got me all messed up this morning, guys.
Oh, tell me about it. Really does. Tell me about it.
Hey, I got some optimism on that Georgia State thing, though. If Pruitt was still here and had a little more success and, you know, wasn't cheating and stuff, at least didn't get caught, like, the Georgia State thing would hurt more. Now that he completely flamed out, I really don't even care. I'm kind of glad we lost to Georgia State.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
It's kind of like once you get once the scab is there and then it goes away and it falls off and you just got that nice little scar and you're kind of like, scar looks pretty good. Kind of glad that happened.
I feel like he was let go way faster than Butch Jones was. Like, Butch Jones was kind of a slow bleed. It was like after the Georgia game, you were just like, this guy's got to go, and then they kept him around. And it was even considered to keep him, I think, for another season from a good majority of the fan base.
Well, at least they fired him in the middle of the season. We waited till the season was over to fire Pruitt.
Oh, yeah,
shorter season for Pruitt, though. It is fitting, though, that the dumbest coach in Tennessee football history also is credited with the worst loss in school history. It's poetic.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, look, I was thinking this yesterday. I think you guys touched on this like last week or the week before. But you know, we as a program, we're actually sitting in really damn good shape with all sports except for football, which is kind of weird to think about. I mean, baseball's rolling, basketball. My God, man! I mean, the next 2 years look extremely promising.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you just look at the health of the program, I don't know if Tennessee basketball has ever been in better shape.
No, yeah, for sure. And baseball is getting there. I mean, I think it's still kind of a roller coaster ride, but you know, all these other sports. I mean, good Lord, cheerleading wins a national championship. Softball is there.
Tennis is third ranked in the country.
Yeah.
Danny White came in.
Walked into a pretty good situation.
No, he did. He did, except football, which is a kind of a big deal, and he's got to fix that.
Yeah, it's everything. It is. Almost everything. I mean, we'll see, guys. Like I said, I think it can't get worse.
There you go.
But Alex, love you, brother.
Aww.
Appreciate it, Matt.
Be good, man. Good luck out there in the real world.
Thank you.
See you, guys.
See you, Matt. Good
Thanks
phone
for call.
The call.
Appreciate it.
Jeez. It was a little dusty in here. Was
John Curry just good at everything except football? Didn't he hire the tennis coach?
I think so, yeah.
Or maybe not. He might.
No, I think he did.
Is Chris Woodruff the tennis coach now?
Yeah.
I feel like that got announced like right as Curry started.
He got Tony V.
He got Tony
signed
V.
him up in an airport.
Women's basketball is still kind of, yeah.
That was Phil.
I know.
Oh. Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about KJ Harper.
Yeah, but they really haven't done anything yet.
No, but I've heard good things. She's only had, what, 2 years?
I mean, they hadn't fallen apart.
No.
It hasn't been like it's not a Pruitt situation or anything.
No, they beat the number one team in the country last year.
They're just,
yeah.
They're just not. Are they ever going to be a thing again?
If you're asking me if Kelly Jolly Harper is going to be the next Pat Summitt.
Are they just always going to be kind of okay? Like pretty good?
I think they're always going to be pretty good.
Like they're going to make a Final Four in the next 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
And then you got to have some success, and then success be good success. It's still Tennessee, man. Still the Lady Vols.
How about this?
How about it?
The Athletic's doing some school-by-school thing. So obviously the Tennessee article is done by David Ubbin. I like how he started this because he said, on December 20th, 2020, Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt and athletic director Philip Fulmer accepted a bid for the Volunteers to end their season in the Liberty Bowl. Fulmer called it, quote, remember this, a primer spring practice for Coach Pruitt and our returners.
Yeah.
A day later, the Vols abruptly ended their season and pulled out of the bowl game because of a positive COVID-19 test within the program. Including Coach Pruitt.
Oh, crap. Sorry.
Less than a month later, they're both fired.
Total garbage. Nothing but lies.
Pretty funny. Like, I didn't really... If you just said, hey, Philip Fulmer's not going to do a great job as an athletic director, I wouldn't have been shocked. You know, if, like, the day they hired him, if somebody, like, hey, I'm from the future, just want you to know... Philip Fulmer, not a great athletic director. I'd have been like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I mean, he's just a coach. Like, we'll see how he does, though. On no planet did I think he would completely just, like,
no,
drive this thing into the Tennessee River.
No. It is. I mean, I don't think I ever thought he was going to go down in history as one of the greatest athletic directors in collegiate sports, but. Good God, man.
And we tried to give him every excuse in the book. It's like, well, he had to hire Pruitt when, like, no one else won the job. There weren't any good options. But then he would do the just dumbest things like, I thought I had a good coach. Now I know I got one. Then he gives him an extension.
And himself an
Literally
extension.
After the Georgia State season, he got an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, he won 7 out of 8, you know, got hot.
Yeah, got his own extension and didn't even tell anybody.
I heard behind the scenes that Fulmer was livid all the time that they would not go to somebody other than Garantano. Like, I heard that, like, he would talk to Pruitt about it. Not, like, ultimatum, like, I'm going to fire you if you don't do it, but he's just like,
dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? And then I'm like, so that part, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, Fulmer, football. But then I look back at all the other things he did, and I just...
Well, do you think
it's really not what he did, it's what he didn't do.
Do you think it's because, like, they never had a good quarterback coach ever? Like, before Chaney came in? I mean, who was...
Well, Chaney, he coached quarterbacks, like, at Purdue, but since then he's been, like, tight ends and O-line, and, I mean, he still helps with the quarterback, but they kept Winky.
Wait, who were our other quarterbacks, Tyson Hill, the very first year?
Other quarterbacks?
On that roster.
Yeah, Lucarist.
He wasn't there the first year, though,
very
was he?
Very first year. JG, like the West Virginia, was he the backup?
I thought we brought him in. Yeah, I thought it was Chris and JG. That was pretty much the
very
only
first
two we
year.
Saw. Yeah,
and Will McBride was he the first year? But no, was
I
that
mean
was Butch.
That kid. Just
I know he was there. Yeah, I don't
I mean he's not an SC guy. That's fine.
Was it just those two?
But Yeah, I guess it makes sense. But yeah. So I was trying to think, like, so Tyson Helton, did he just have no one to go to? And then it was Chris Winkie. Did Winkie come in year two?
I thought he was here. He was here the whole time, but he moved. He was like, wasn't he running backs for a year? He was running
backs. It's like they had no one on the staff. Well, I mean, Helton was only here 1 year, and if he didn't have anybody else to develop.
Right, and I think Winkie coached, and I could be wrong.
They slid him over.
He was like receivers or running backs. Then we got T and J. And then
there's just no good, like,
which is really bizarre because Fulmer's the most success he ever had here was when he had David Cutcliffe, who is a quarterback, you know, wizard,
right?
And you would think that if you see random coaches on your staff being shuffled at the quarterback coach position, that you might step in and say,
I mean, but once you've picked your guy, like, there's not much. It's not much you can do.
But that was Pruitt's problem. Remember, he said, "Well, we treat quarterbacks just like we treat everybody else." And he's probably like, it don't matter if I coach safeties, linebackers, or D-line. I know it, so I can do it. But a quarterback is quarterback. It's very different. It's very important.
Yep.
You know, you can't just go over there and be like, all right, here are the quarterback drills. Let's go. Like, you have to teach. You have to train, which is why I love what I saw from Heupel in the juice.
This reminds me of what a guy told me about. So you know, my daughter plays fast pitch, and he was like, look. He's like, listen here, Nate. This guy's a really good fast pitch softball coach, team coach, right? He's like, I can coach all these other positions. He's like, I don't mess with the pitchers. I send them to their pitching coach. They deal with it that mm-hmm. way. I feel like what's happening in the college game is a lot of the best head coaches are all quarterback gurus because it's everything, right? Like, you got mm-hmm. no quarterback, you got no chance. So, I don't know. I can't wait to get.
Except the best coach. He's a defensive guy. But he hires good people.
But now, yeah, I want to come back with that thought okay. and the quarterback. I mean, it really is everything, and at least bare minimum, Tennessee now has a head coach that is a quarterback guy.
I'll take it.
Welcome back to Three and Out. I'm going to get right back to the phone calls in just a second. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. You mentioned Nick Saban, you know, being a defensive guy and kind of ruling college football. I thought it was really interesting. It was a couple months ago, I think we decided, roughly, I don't know, it was this offseason, though, where he was asked about defense and the way the game's changing and stuff. And he basically said, like, you're not going to see dominant defense anymore, ever. Like, their defense mm-hmm. this past year, he was saying how even though their stats don't compare to, like, obviously defenses years ago when they would dominate on that side of the ball, how good their defense actually played this year as, you know, they won the Natty, and how the game's just all about offense. And then in passing, kind of just in a sentence, he basically said it all changed for Alabama when they got Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, that kind of makes sense. So, I mean, like, obviously Saban's a master at getting assistant coaches and having them kind of buy into the whole shebang, and it's even working for them on offense. And the fact that the last, what I would call the last good hire in Tennessee football history, was the guy that changed Alabama into an offensive powerhouse, which is just another mind bend problem. I don't know.
Watch it, Dave.
But no, Heupel is, you know, he's an air raid national championship winning quarterback. I mean,
runner up Heisman Trophy.
You know,
quarterback guy, offense guy.
I would rather, if he fails, I would rather fail at least trying it that way than trying to recreate an Alabama style defense that doesn't even exist anymore, according to Nick Saban. Like, imagine if Pruitt was still. Had done a little better,
nope.
Didn't get caught cheating, was still the coach here. Mm-hmm. We're literally trying to recreate something that Nick Saban says cannot be recreated. Nick Saban saying, I can't do it. I'm Nick Saban. And we got Jeremy Pruitt just walking around trying to do it that way.
You
got
to work harder, move it forward, go to the high skews.
It's pretty pretty interesting.
All Only right. four FBS programs have averaged 200-plus rushing and 200-plus passing yards per game in 2019 and 20. UCF was one of them under Heupel.
Yeah, I saw that. People were pointing out, you know, how it gets known for, you know, speed and throwing the ball around a lot, but the offense actually actually pretty balanced.
The other three teams were Louisville, Louisiana Lafayette, and Ohio State.
Well, I mean, oh gosh, what's Louisville coach's name?
Satterfield.
Like, I know they haven't, he hasn't really clicked there yet. But if
been a defensive issue,
dude. If you watch their team, especially, man, I don't even remember the game. I had them in like a parlay that just needed them to like cover against another ACC team, and it was like 70 something to 60 one time. I was just like, they can score, and that's the guy that was running that App State offense mm-hmm. that came in here and almost beat us. I mean, he's definitely an offensive guy. Louisiana Lafayette is Billy Napier.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State, I mean, you know, Ryan Day's a pretty good offensive guy. So let's go to the phone lines and grab Dan. He's up next. What's up, buddy? You're on Three and Out.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Dan.
I've been listening to you guys for over a year now. It's my first time calling in. I've called in the VR a few times. Yeah, love the show.
Long time, first time. We love it, Dan.
That's right. Yep. So I just thought you guys would get a kick out of hearing that you guys now have a listener in Pakistan.
Yes.
So the 37 goes to all the way across the other side of the world.
We're worldwide. So wait, worldwide. You're in Pakistan right now?
I'm in Pakistan right now. I just got here.
What time is it in Pakistan?
It is 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
afternoon drive. Yep.
I don't want to get into your business, but whatever you're doing there, good luck. Stay safe. Doesn't sound like a vacation, Dan. So, you know, be sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's funny. My last deployment, my last deployment, I was the summer and fall of 2018, so Jeremy Pruitt's first season, and now Josh Heupel's first season, I'm deployed again. So I know, I guess I can expect a deployment every time we got a new head coach, so might be back in, might be in the Middle East again in 4 years or so. Hopefully not.
What branch, Dan?
Air Force.
Okay. Air Force. All right.
All right.
All right. Just checking. Just like to know where my people are, what they're doing.
Maybe less than four, Dan. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, just want to let you guys know I'm a big fan, and keep up the good work. I'll be listening every day while I'm here. So
awesome, Dan. Appreciate it. Stay safe.
Yeah,
buddy.
Thanks for letting us know. That's cool, man. Pakistan. Appreciate it. Pakistan.
Didn't we have one listener in Tokyo?
Yeah, we had somebody, I don't remember where.
And then we had another one in
Nam.
Did we?
Was it Vietnam? Wasn't there someone in, it's Ho Chi Minh City? I think we did. Because we got into the whole Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City thing. Remember
that? Because we got screwed over at trivia.
It's Vietnam.
Prestige worldwide.
we got that. Yeah. That's called a country.
Yeah.
These are cities.
Well, is that the way Houston was making it out to be? It was like, oh, yeah, we also had a guy here.
I was just saying, we got into the whole, what trivia was that?
It was the question about capital or largest city or something? Largest city in Vietnam or something?
Yeah.
And we said.
You said Saigon.
And they said it's Ho Chi Minh.
It's Ho Chi Minh City now.
And
it was Saigon.
Somebody tweeted us and said, you guys got screwed. All the young, young folks call it
here,
Saigon.
Call it Saigon. Yeah. We got robbed.
It's like the same place.
Absolute hose job.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to see it.
We lost because of that one question.
Yeah. Sad. We would have won. Where was that? Oh, well.
What, trivia? Hops Knowledge, right?
Was it? Yeah, so. It was. It was.
Yeah, Hops Knowledge trivia.
Because I even went up and talked to the guy about it. I was like, you know, it's the same city. He's like, no, sorry. It's not.
I don't think that guy even knew.
He didn't. He had no idea.
Yeah.
He just had his. They sent him the questions, and you know, he didn't even bother to look it up.
Not an intelligent, you know, educated individual.
Mm.
Sad.
Yeah.
He needs to watch the Ken Burns Vietnam series. Have you guys seen that?
No. Is it good?
Well, people talk about the Civil War one, which I think I watched that too. But for some, I don't even know why. But the Vietnam one is so much better. Like it's incredible, and I still can't put my finger on. I mean, it's the same style. You know, it's a multi-part documentary thing. I just couldn't stop watching it. I mean, I like literally would walk around the house trying to get stuff done with it running on the phone, because it's, you know, a documentary. A lot of it you can just kind of listen to. So good.
I'll check that out. I finished Knives Out last night. Boys, it was good. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very enjoyable. It's like, what would you call that? It's not a comedy, but it does have a lot of comedic parts.
Yeah.
Like little things where, you know, it's not like, here's a funny joke. It's just, I don't know. Like the...
I mean, there's just some comedic undertones to the film. It's still still an action.
It's like underlying.
Not an action, but it's like it's a mystery.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't want to say lighthearted. I don't know how...
Yeah, like the family dynamics.
Yeah,
and it's funny. Like Chris Evans' character in particular, he like pokes fun at how his family is.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good movie. I would recommend it. Fun watch.
Come back, I'll tell you what. David Ubbin wrote about Tennessee, Josh Heupel.
Okay.
The change and the rebuild.
Ubbin does such good stuff. He stood up for Tennessee fans the other day, too, in his mailbag. Did you read that?
Did he? No.
I might have to read that one on air. It's good.
Good for old Dave.
It's good.
Yep.
Now, that's old Dave.
Another David Tennessee Ubbin. Rebuild begins. The Big Vols J. will play faster under Josh Heupel, but he inherits a steep challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Final segment, hour number one, Thursday edition of the program. Another Tennessee rebuild. Ubbin points out that Danny White chose Josh Heupel. And since then, Heupel has
he did choose him.
Everything to shift the words around Tennessee football to fast, fun, and family.
The three Fs.
While undertaking the latest and most difficult iteration of a Vols rebuild in decades. Perhaps ever. The three Fs. That reminded me of the story where my son came home first day of school this year and said, "Dad, you're going to love my teacher. He loves golf and gambling. The two G's."
I thought you were going to say he came home and said, "I got three F's."
Oh.
That'd be bad.
That would be bad.
Hmm.
I was like, "Did your teacher say the two G's?" He's like, "No, I added that part."
The two G's.
The two G's. So now you know, Alex, that the two G's are golf and gambling.
Wish I had a teacher in elementary school that was talking to me about gambling.
All right, guys, let's talk about gambling here. Sit Indian style. Oh, they don't call it that. What are they? Crisscross applesauce? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You racist.
Okay.
Now, I told my son apparently has been winning stuff off of other kids because he's been gambling on different things. I was like, "What are you gambling on?" And he misunderstood the question. He started listing all the stuff he had won. And then how he gave back some of it, other stuff.
Little con artist you got there.
Yeah, and then I was like, "No, what are you what are you gambling on? Like, what, how, you
Did
know.
Did he tell you?
Yeah, he said mainly it's rock, paper, scissors. They take these fidget toys to school and they trade them and stuff.
Yeah, like the spinners?
All kind of different things now. Little, like, snake things you can, like, fold around and things. So they'll put them up in the rock paper scissors contest. Apparently,
get him a couple dice. That'll do it.
I bet he's one of those cheaters too, who he watches the opponent's hand and then
and
sees
like switches it. No, he wouldn't. He would. Yeah, he might.
He probably would.
He has a good heart, but he's a little crafty.
His mother is really good at rock paper scissors. She's also super lucky when you play board games and stuff, so he comes by naturally.
Super lucky, or just like,
well, both cards, board games,
or maybe she just knows how to play them.
She's good. No, it's both. It's both.
Knows when to hold up.
Knows when to.
She's not good at poker though. That's her kryptonite.
What do you mean? Like, is it the bluffing? No good poker face?
Yeah, I think so. I think she just prefers to just play a game where you don't have to worry about that aspect.
Deceit.
Yeah, you just play.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, what did David Ubbin say about old Heupel?
Heupel said, "You're in a race to become as good as you can, as fast as you can. That's a challenge."
I like that. First of all, just real quick, that's not much, but that's a lot. It's going to take 6 or 7 years.
That's
a
good point, actually.
I like the stance from Heupel. We got to do it as fast as we can the right way.
He said, "That's the challenge for your players every single day. You've got to enter the building with great urgency and put pressure on yourself to soak in as much as possible, go out there, play, and execute."
Hmm. Okay.
at the same time, you're trying to balance that to where your kids aren't overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
and they have an opportunity to soak in the information that they need to go out there and compete. Just kind of like the same sentence again, but whatever.
Yeah.
I thought this stat, though, was just mind-blowing, but expected. Tennessee ran 660 plays last season, Houston.
660.
660, that's the number.
In 10 games.
Only five teams that played at least 10 games ran fewer. And those five teams won an average of 2.2 games. Two fired their coaches.
Huh.
We were historically bad, basically.
Damn right.
Mm. Heupel's hyperspeed offense.
Hyperspeed. I like that.
Might hit 660 plays by Halloween.
Well, what are the average at UCF? Was it 88 a game? It's like six more than the next closest.
Get some first downs. Let's go.
Yeah. Be good. Be really good. Anything else interesting in there? How quick can it happen?
Year two. And that's when we see it, normally.
The only thing I would pose is that the NCAA stuff is the big unknown.
Does it really matter, though?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, it's going to keep you from getting, you know, a lot of, like, five and high-end four-star talent.
Didn't Ohio State go undefeated on probation?
1 year, yeah. But that's the thing. Like, how long are we going to be on a bowl ban? It seems like everyone thinks anything more than 1 year is out of, you know, is unlikely. They think it's going to be a one-year ban, and they're going to accept our ban from this past season.
Here's a question that I'm kind of curious about to get your all's opinion. Jeremy Pruitt, Josh Heupel, offensive philosophy. I don't know if you could have more polar opposites.
Right.
Do you think that could be an issue for the recruiting as far as the guys that are already on the roster that play offense and it takes a lot longer to make that adjustment?
Well, I think the fact that now the transfer portal, like, guys can just move around faster really helps. It came in a good time for Tennessee.
Yeah, it feels like if you stick it out and you want to be here, it's because you're bought in and you're going to, you know, try to learn everything the best you can.
Best case scenario, you got some Bruce Pearl moments where a kid that really didn't flourish under Jeremy Pruitt all of a sudden in a new offense is a different player.
Right.
Or even a new defense. But it's impossible, though. Davey, just impossible.
Yeah, I know.
I
feel like it's a good conversation piece.
There's going to be some guys who maybe didn't do much under Pruitt, but we thought that they would eventually, and Heupel's guys come in and are like, yeah, this guy can't even play. Like, sorry. We'll never see him. And then there could be the opposite, too.
You know, like, oh, man, what kind of thought Tank McCullough would be a little bit better, and then all of a sudden he's, you know, like second team all SEC safety or something. Or better.
I mean, I'm hoping on defense they can play faster, think less, and it'll help them, you know, kind of flourish. And really, same thing on offense. I mean, I don't think the offense is super complex mentally. It's just can you execute it and make the right decision?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing, right? Like, it's like one read for the quarterback, one read for the receiver. Like, guy does this, you run this. He does this, you do that. Pretty simple.
Well, in the one position where you have a lot of bodies where maybe somebody can emerge and play better than we think the best guy will play is quarterback. I mean, that's really the main thing that gives me, like, blind optimism, I guess. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean blind as in we don't know. Like, so it's like we don't know anything about how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But at least there are guys there that are competing, and if one of them can emerge and be better than expected, that's there's more of a chance for that to happen with multiple guys at the position.
Right.
And it's a position that's been just dreadful ever since Josh Dobbs left.
I think that's safe to say. Dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
Not much good from that spot. Optimism Thursday.
And the quarterbacks under Josh Heupel, whether it be at Missouri or UCF, have always played well, even when UCF lost some of those games. So, I mean,
he's got bodies, he's got options.
at minimum, I don't think the offense is going to go out there and do stuff where you're like, why in the world did they try to do that? You know, it might not work, and I'm sure it won't against some teams on the schedule. But
I don't know.
I don't think you're going to watch the offense play and go like, what are we even doing? Remember when Tyson Elton kept putting more guys in the box to try and run the ball? And it was like, that's another – we led the nation in stuff rating.
That was – yeah.
It was like, what are you – why are you bringing more defenders around the ball? We can't block the ones that are there already. Like, spread them out. Give our running back space to maybe, if a guy's unblocked, make him miss. Right now you're just – you're trying to play in a phone booth with an offensive with blockers that can't beat their guy. Like, normally you bring more guys in the box because your maulers are better than the other guy that you're bringing in. It's like, we're going to bring more guys in the box because our tight end can destroy that safety or linebacker. Mm-hmm. It's like, our tight end can't block anybody. Why? Like, put him on the sideline and make somebody walk out there to cover him and then run the ball in the A-gap. Like, this makes no sense.
So, last year, UCF scored fewer than 20 points zero times. They only had two games in the 20s. Everything else was in the 30s, 40s, or 50s. They scored 23 in the bowl game, the loss to BYU.
Mm-hmm.
And they scored 26 in an eight-point loss to Tulsa.
Okay.
Just off the top of your head, how many times last year do you think Tennessee scored fewer than 20 points? 10-game schedule.
Six. Sorry, just threw a number out
there. Yeah, it was actually correct. So.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, really?
So.
Yeah, six. Thanks a lot, Nate.
Well, I mean, like you had.
I just guessed.
You had Missouri and South Carolina. You started that off, and then everything was downhill, and you had Vanderbilt. So basically, mm-hmm. your wins, you had more than 20.
And you had 21 you had, like, against Georgia, one of which was a defensive touchdown.
So bad, man.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's going to be the exact opposite. Listed attendance for that Vanderbilt game last year, by the way, is 849.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. That's just funny to me. That's 849.
More people watch high school basketball games.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hypo last year scored in the 20s twice and the 30s only twice, one of which was a 38-13 beatdown of Temple.
All right.
49, 51, 49, 51, 44, 38, 58. I like it. Points. Points are good.
Points are important.
Are they important?
Okay.
Nope. Okay.